Hello, welcome to episode 2 of Deep Matter Radio. My name is Christopher. I'm one of the editors of Deep Matter. Today we just have one feature for you in the radio show, and that is an interview done by Alexander. So here it is.
Okay, interview with Ryan Mark Logan. What day is it?
Sixth of May.
2009.
Approximately
9:59 something, but it'll be in the video program, I hope.
All right. Yes. Greetings.
Hello. Hello. Why do you like Toronto? Toronto.
I like Toronto. Because.
So anyway, why do you like Toronto?
I like Toronto because it's an interesting city. because I like walking down Spadina Avenue, and I like seeing the old ladies and old men, and sometimes old couples. And I also like walking to Kensington Market. And I also like, I also don't like, getting mugged.
How often do you get nostalgic?
Nostalgic? Depends. Can I skip that question for now?
I guess so.
It's a lot easier to ask questions than to answer.
Yeah, I agree.
How often do you get nostalgic?
I think it's the opposite. Questions are harder to come up with than answers. What did it feel like the first time you were in love with someone?
Well, I remember. I had a lot of deep matter themed loves at first, and I guess I just I think my first love I kind of kept my own little secret in a way, and I didn't really was too shy to speak about it with anybody else, even close friends, so I just kind of like kept it my own little secret and just thought of this person all the time. Probably too much. And, that was my first love. And I probably didn't even say a word to the person.
Can you tell us the first, a story of the first, first romantic experience or something?
What kind of romantic experience?
Like any trace of romance happened to you? Like the first, remotely whatever thing?
First romantic anything. Well, I met this girl at a concert by Ted Leo, and this was like maybe grade 11 or something, and which is probably really late for most people's standards, but
it's early as hell for like deep matter standards.
Yeah, I guess I was a real go-getter or something. But we went to this concert, and we were wearing the same hooded sweatshirt. And we kind of chatted a bit. And then, it was really strange. She found me on the website MySpace.
Like, before you met? She had seen you before?
No, after. And it was really weird because I thought she'd just forget me as soon as we exited the venue. But then we corresponded through MySpace and email, And it was weird. Like, I would get home from school, and she would as well, and we'd just, like, chat on the internet for, like, what seemed like hours, like, every single day. And it was, like, this internet love type thing, like this new age, I don't know. It was kind of strange. But really, really satisfying, I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I think that was my first dip into the pool of romance.
Are you happy?
I don't know. That's difficult. I don't think it's as simple as being happy or sad or anything like that. I don't think I'm ever happy or sad. It's like, am I happy? I don't know. I think it's a tough question to answer.
How do you feel about life? Do you think it's better to be alive, or would you mind if everyone was dead?
Well, I'm not like a Richard Hell or anything, wanting, or like his song, "Who Says It's Good to Be Alive." I'm not like that. What was the question again? Sorry.
How do you feel about life?
How do I feel about life? I think it's good. Yes. I think it's a worthwhile experience. I really like it. I feel more content now than ever, I think. Even when I don't feel good, I think it's still interesting.
What's wrong with death? Why is it bad?
Well, there's nothing wrong with death. I mean, surely there's nothing wrong with death, but while you're alive, why not be alive? I mean,
why not be dead?
Well, I don't know. I suppose to each his own, but, for myself personally, I'm content with being alive, I think.
How would you prefer to be asexual?
Well, it was kind of funny, like, with my first and only real, long-term relationship, in a way, towards other people, like, I ended up being kind of, I think over a period of time, I ended up being kind of asexual to, like, people that weren't my girlfriend. Like, I it was weird. I stopped, like, thinking of other girls, like, you know how, I don't know, I think there's, like, this, well, obviously, this inherent thing that everybody has, no matter if they're straight or gay or whatever, that they'll notice people and for certain features or whatever. But, like, after dating this girl who I'll leave unnamed, leave anonymous. Was so content with her that I didn't even, like, think of anybody else, nor really, I don't know, I just saw everybody else as just kind of, like, sexless, you know? So, I think it's interesting, though, because, it's interesting. Like, I haven't met anybody that's completely asexual, but it's interesting, especially since, like, sexuality is so it's aggressively marketed like everywhere. Like case point, like say American Apparel or something like that. It's so like in your face. But like, these people that obviously it's not their decision. They're just not. I don't know. I guess attracted to other people, but it's interesting. I think.
How do you feel about being interviewed? Do you think that you're a good candidate or good subject for interviewing or interviews?
Well, I don't think I'm. I don't feel like my answers are as good as they could be. I always feel like I have trouble articulating what I want to say when I.
Me too.
Well, I suppose like if it was just in a casual situation talking to somebody, it would be okay. But when there's a camera pointed at me and I know that it's going to be used in some way, it's like a little bit unnerving. Well, not a little bit, but a lot unnerving. And it's like it's kind of like a milder form of like public speaking where you're kind of like analyzing things before you say them in your head. That's what you mentioned in your in the first Deep Matter, didn't you? You had to think of things before you actually said them.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that. Like you have this, feel like you have this pressure of not sounding like an idiot or something like that. Mm. But then it's like a self fulfilling prophecy or something, and you end up looking like a fool. Is it kind of like talking to a girl you find, I don't know, you admire or something? Mm. It's like this pressure.
If you were the writer of Deep Matter, or one of the writers, would you be embarrassed of it? Like, with your parents? Like, would your family members ever hear of it?
If I was like, hey, Mom, do you want to read my zine? Like, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well,
would you ever show it to them?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they'd really understand. Not to sound like an asshole, but I don't think they'd really understand like the vocabulary used, or like I don't know. They'd probably just they wouldn't understand it because like most people, like I think you've mentioned before, they only. I don't know. They can only respond to things that are positive. Like, not saying Deep Matter is all negative, but I mean, they can only respond to happy, you know. And if you showed them anything that was even the slightest bit melancholy or anything like that, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. You know, it's like it's like that front people put up. They have to have this like. Smile on their face, or and like the words they say, it has to be pleasant or something positive.
Yeah.
But I don't even think I'm answering the question, or am I? Maybe I am. No. That's what their reaction would be. They wouldn't know what to do. So I don't think I would. No.
So it wouldn't be out of embarrassment. It would be out of they're not.
Well, I think over the years, like I've. Unintentionally or maybe slightly intentionally distance myself so much from, I guess, my family that I just like assume everything that I like they wouldn't care for. So yeah, I think I gave up on that a long time ago.
What do you think they would think of this interview?
I don't know, really. I mean, they would probably have the same reaction that that they would if they were to read Deep Matter, if I was an author of it. It'd just be awkward and kind of perplexed, I guess. Be like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, I really like this. This is it's a nice thing you've done. Something.
How often do you cry?
I haven't cried in a while. I don't know. I think. I don't really tally up every time I cry, but
you should.
Yeah, I should. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. Maybe.
Was it like a few days or a few years or?
No, definitely not a few years. I don't think even like, I don't know, soulless people cry more than every couple of years.
Maybe. I don't think I do.
What?
I don't think I do.
How often do you cry?
Like, my eyes get watery at, like, a movie or some shit, but, like really crying, like...
Oh, like completely, like,
yeah,
bawling,
ridiculously
hysterical?
Rare. Yeah.
Oh,
Definitely years in between, like, that.
I think the last time I had a good cry, it was, like, when I realized... when I realized that my relationship of, like... 2 years or whatever was actually coming to an end. Although it didn't actually happen until maybe 4 months later. I knew it was in its final chapter, in its final days before its death. But I remember, I think the last time I semi-cried was like, it was kind of, in a way, related to that same girl. But I was listening to the acoustic version of Mount Erie, or I guess the Microphones, The Moon, and The Moon sequel. And I just, like, the thing is with the original version of The Moon, if you're familiar with it, the vocals are, like, kind of hidden amongst the instruments, instrumental parts. And so, I don't know, I guess I didn't put too much effort into understanding the song, but when I heard the acoustic version, I'm like, oh my god, I can relate to this so much, and, like, it was just...
Which song is this?
The Moon.
Oh, yeah, whoa.
The Moon and The Moon sequel.
It's a beautiful
song. I know, and I just, like, the whole concept of... You know, when you're in love with somebody and you bring them into your life and you share, like, all your favorite places, you know, your favorite park, your favorite everything, and then something goes wrong, and then, you know, all of these favorite places are associated with the person who was once, you know, your favorite person as well. It's like, it feels like you can't go back there. But the idea of, recovering or reclaiming your territory by, like, in that song, it was really, I don't know, really overwhelming for me, I guess. And yeah,
How would you describe the emotions prevalent in the music that you listen to?
The emotions, emotions. Well, I guess maybe feelings of it depends, because I like, I don't know, I guess, like, say Adrian Orange or something, it's like, I guess depending on the artist, it's like different things I associate with them. But in the large spectrum of the music I listen to, I guess what I identify with them is like maybe shyness or insecurity, or being melancholy or something, you know, something like that, I guess. And being sensitive too. I think that's a common theme in, well, yeah, all the music I listen to is sensitivity and, yeah.
What social situation do you think would be most, bad for you? Like, what social situation would you be most uncomfortable?
I would say any situation where I feel like I feel really uncomfortable in really sterile places, like say some sort of like your stereotypical office or something, like no windows and just like really ugly lighting, and like I find when I'm in places, in places like that for any period of time, I almost forget like where I am because I can't see trees or the outdoors or anything like that. It just feels like such like this alien place, and when I'm, I don't know, there just seems to be like this. I think I'm really sensitive to other people's feelings too. So like if people around me are like kind of stressed or something, or you can tell there's like some tension, like I'll get really uncomfortable, and when I'm in that context of not being able to see nature or anything, like it'll just seem like that's the whole world, and it'll just make me really, I don't know,
I know what you mean.
Scared. And also public speaking, I'm terrified of that.
Me too. How often do you make friends?
Well, I find myself like I seem to hold onto these like I guess kind of restrictive complexes that I think I've had since high school, where it's almost like this predisposition to be prejudiced in a way. That might sound bad, but like I don't know. I have this habit of just judging everybody, and it's probably isn't good, but because I have like seen people for the like first time and thought, oh, this person doesn't look interesting or something, but then I'll talk to them and they actually are kind of neat. But making friends, well, I often like I meet a lot of people as a photographer. Like I like just talking to random people, but making actual good friends, not very often, because I always feel like it takes a certain person for me to feel like I can actually relate with them. Like they're always, I don't know, with a lot of people, there always seems to be like an aspect of distance that I have with them. And and I think I'm just really picky too, like really picky. So I don't know. I don't really have a tally for friends either. But hopefully that gives some sort of perspective.
How dependable, how accurate is your, how accurate are your assessments of people, like superficial assessments, like you were talking about, you judge people.
I think surprisingly good. I have a real knack for analyzing people. Like I feel like with the previously mentioned bits about sensitivity, like I find like I can pick up on things really quickly, people's, how they're feeling or, and yeah, just like looking at people's like body language, like if I'm sitting on a bench and like seeing somebody walk by, I don't know, I feel like I can tell if they're confident or not confident, or, I mean, some of that is obviously obvious, like if somebody's strutting down the street, like, I don't know, their chest out or something, obviously they're probably confident or just, or maybe the exact opposite, and that's why they're doing that. I don't know, but I think I have a really good judge of character for the most part, unless they're like this enigmatic person.
Assuming you're like me, that your life has been like relatively like wonderful, considering like world circumstances, like or like historical things that yes. could have been happening to me. Yeah, considering that, like, why, despite that, do you think that people like us are so interested in sadness, or why does negativity and sadness in art and stuff and like music, like why do those sentiments resonate so well with us, despite our or at least our material wealth, at least maybe not.
Well, otherwise. I think that like, say if you look at something, if you hear something on the news, like, you know, some tragedy on the other side of the world, you think about it and you might feel kind of bad, but I think humans as a whole, or like North Americans, or just us too, like, there's a level of being desensitized. And like there's like this distance, you know, and like when you like you can think, yeah, I'm a really lucky person and all that and know that, but there's still like, I don't know, this, you're desensitized and like you, I don't know, and you, I don't know, I guess for me, like I know that I'm really lucky, but sometimes, you know, it's just things in the present or whatever are just more overwhelming and just, and yeah. And I think music and art, I can relate to because, I don't know, that's, I don't know. It's, yeah, I don't know.
What's your favorite kind of, creative medium? Like, music or visual? Like pictures or, like, literature or video? Or
creative
and
medium.
Photography and stuff.
Like, say, a branch of photography or a branch of literature or?
No, just, like, do you prefer looking at stuff or hearing stuff or watching moving pictures or whatever?
I think music for me, definitely. Yeah, like I'm a photographer myself, and I like doing I like taking photos, but as like being like a person taking in something, I like music, I think.
Me too.
The best. Yeah, there's like this real, aside from, you know, the message and the sound, like there's this real spiritual thing, like something you can't even really describe. It's just like, I don't know, something that's so ingrained into you. human nature, I guess, like just noises, mixtures of noises that are pleasing.
Why do you think that people like us are so similar in so many ways? An interest in Thanksgiving can, like a common interest in Thanksgiving between the two of us can likely result, it seems, in like a million other similarities between us. Like the way we talk and like the way we dress and all that kind of stuff.
I don't know. I think it's,
and like weird similarities, like that are really rare.
Well, I think like, say, if you're talking about some mainstream top 40 artist, like, there's, I don't know, it's so obvious that, you know, some Joe truck driver could like this artist, and like some 12-year-old girl in middle school could also like the same artist. But, you know, it's like, with something like Thanksgiving, it's so obscure. And I don't know, it just, like, if somebody is interested, like, a lot of people just kind of denounce Thanksgiving the second they hear his vocals, you know, just because they're kind of, they're not really traditional, you know, and, or something about it they'll just not like or something. And I don't know, I think it takes a lot to get to that point of liking something that obscure, so I think naturally they'll, I don't know, maybe like similar with some other similar things, I guess.
One example is hedging that we both do. I noticed like hedging is when you like when you're tentative about everything you say, like, or anything you say, I guess. Like I just did. That,
I've never heard that before, hedging.
It's like when you say, I like bicycles, I guess, or something, or you add something onto it to make it more, like, loose, kind of, like, so you don't have to commit to it too much.
More vague.
Yeah, and that's something that we all seem to do a lot, or... Like Joel and Christopher and earlier I heard like you said with the music question or with the medium question you said I think I prefer music definitely and
I think I prefer music definitely
yeah. So like it's like and I heard in thanks in an article about Thanksgiving like the writer noted that
that feature thing.
He says that he always does that. Like, everything he says is, like, I guess or I think or, like, things like that. So I wonder why we all do that or something. Like, I just did.
Because I think I'm maybe just uncertain about the things that I say or, like, I'm not fully confident with... Maybe my answers or something. Sorry, it's just like such an ingrained way of speaking.
I couldn't. Or even, whatever is another thing.
Or whatever, yeah.
I add that to the end of everything I say.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not completely confident in what I'm saying, or I think that maybe. I'll change my mind or something later on.
Yeah. me too. Thank you. It's been 35 almost minutes now.
Okay.
And so thank you for this interview. And
it's been my pleasure.
One last question. Do you prefer, or can you, when you read Deep Matter, can you, detect, like, a distinctive, writing style, like, between Christopher and I? Like, do you detect differences between our writing? Hmm.
That's a good question. No, not really. I don't think so.
How much would you pay for a subscription to Demon?
I don't know. A lot of money.
What if subscriptions were like $50?
I think I'd just have to give in.
Right answer. Okay. Have a nice day or life.
Yeah.
As far as this interview goes, because the interview will never hear from you again. Maybe.
See you again someday. Soon.
Bye.
Bye.